Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Susan, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, February 19th, 2025, and we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 80, the first paragraph before taking drastic action, ending with, "We must not shrink." Today's readers are Vanessa G., who will read the text, Leslie M., a Vision for You, and Shelley E. is our backup. Our newcomer greeter is Alex K., and Jody E. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Tuesday, February 18th, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 22,176. Again, that's 22,176. And for Wednesday, February 19th, the 7 a.m. Eastern, 22,178. Just repeat that one more time in case you didn't catch it, 22,178. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. As a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Dina J. to kindly unmute, join us, and read the 12 steps of OA. Thank you, Dina.
Wonderful. Thank you. I am Dina J., a grateful recovered compulsive eater in California. 12 steps. Okay. So number one, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Dina. Next, we will have Justine F. read the 12 traditions of OA for us. Thank you, Justine.
Hi, Justine F. here in Oregon, compulsive overeater and bulimic. Here are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, as problems of money, property, and prestige purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks.
Thank you, Justine. Our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. All right, so today we're resuming our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter Into Action. If you go to the top of page 80, we're going to read and comment on that first paragraph before taking drastic action through to We Must Not Shrink. And I'd now like to ask Vanessa G. to start reading and sharing with us. Good morning, Vanessa.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. My name's Vanessa G., and I'm recovered in New Mexico. Before taking drastic action, which might implicate other people, we secure their consent. If we have obtained permission, have consulted with others, asked God to help, and the drastic step is indicated, we must not shrink. So, since the word drastic showed up a couple of times in this paragraph, I decided to look it up this morning. And the definition is likely to have a strong or far-reaching effect, radical and extreme. And those of you who know me and who also have heard me share the last couple of weeks on step 8 and 9 know that I really think that this is a drastic step. This is the step, the step 9, that brings us recovery. By asking God to help and taking him with us and learning how to have God in our lives on an ever-present basis, knowing that we're safe and protected, we're able to do these things, these drastic steps. And this particular step, I may not have that much. I've been single all of my life. My livelihood is, strictly dependent upon me, or I'm the only one dependent upon my livelihood. I have not had to secure other people's consent, but I think that probably in all situations, maybe the idea is the same. If the drastic step is indicated, we must not shrink. And that means if we at all have any type of feeling that we are going to eat, if we do not do our step 9, the step 9 that is in front of us, we really must not shrink. We must ask God to help. We must consult with others and and determine what the best way is to approach it. But we must not shrink. This is our life that we're talking about, and this drastic step will have far-reaching effects just in terms of our relationship with a higher power and our success at meeting life on life's terms from now on. And I really appreciate the opportunity to share with you all this morning. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Vanessa G. in New Mexico. All right. So although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that other might share their experiences too. So that counts for both meetings, just as a reminder. And if you came in halfway through Vanessa's share, first paragraph, page 80, before taking drastic action through to we must not shrink. That's what we're commenting on today. So if you'd like to share, please star one to unmute. Give me your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from this morning. Thank you. Who would like to share?
Donna B.
Donna, you're Freya in Colorado? E. Freya, I know Freya's in Colorado. Okay. Anyone else like to join this first round? All right, well, we'll pause and start here then so we get as many people in as we can. Donna B, followed by Freya R. Oh, go ahead, Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna B, and it is spelled D-A-N-A, but pronounced Donna, and I am calling from Colorado. One of the things that I really appreciate in the Big Book is how clear the instructions are. And often I can see an itemized list of steps to take. So I'm to ask for permission, number one. I'm to consult with others, number two. I'm to ask God for help, number three. And then if the drastic step is indicated, number four, I must not shrink. So I just appreciate the level of detail that's provided in the instructions. Obviously, we're talking specifically here about making amends. But when I go through the book, I also like to ask myself how I can apply these directions, these principles to all areas of my life. And even if I'm not in a position of needing to make amends to another person, when I'm taking action, any kind of action that might implicate another person, it's important for me to ask for consent. It's easy, so easy for me to run on self-will without any consideration of the people around me. One of the things that has been a landmark feature of my marriage is getting what my husband calls a bee in my bonnet and just running with it. And I have all the plans in place and I have all the ideas thought through and I've done all the things and then I'm ready to go. And he says, what about this? What about that? And I take it so personally. I see it as an attack on my brilliance and planning rather than how I got the ball rolling by failing to ask for consent ahead of time, for failing to take into consideration the needs of other people. When I do a nightly review and I consider where I've been selfish, one of the options, I guess, for acknowledging my selfishness is not considering the needs, problems, and point of view of others. So I take these directions into my amends and to the very best of my ability, with my help of my higher power, I take these directions into other areas of my life
too. That's time.
And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Donna B. in Colorado. Now we're going to stay in Colorado. And good morning, Freya.
Good morning. This is Freya H. in Colorado, not to be confused with Freya R., who I believe is in California. And I'm a recovered compulsive eater, bulimic restrictor. Thank you so much for everybody who makes this meeting possible. And I wanted to jump in and share on this paragraph because There's a lot in the step nine section, which is quite lengthy in this book. They talk a lot about, you know, very specific instances. There's a lot of it that I can easily identify out, like, oh, I've never been in that situation with, you know, the infidelity and the alimony and paying to the wife. And, you know, I've never been in that situation of, you know, the story we're going to talk about next with discrediting this rival. So I can easily think, oh, this doesn't really apply to me. I haven't really done any harms. But what I was taught about this section was to look for the principles that are being expressed and how can I apply them to the things that are going on in my life, which so much of it is internal. It's like in my head, what are the thoughts, feelings, ideas, attitudes that I am bringing into the world that are just seeping out in my conduct, even though I think I'm, you know, not causing any harm. So this paragraph, all of it is principles that are applicable. So especially, you know, securing consent, obtaining permission, consulting with others, and asking God to help. So all of those are things that are so important when going into this amends process. And I really agree with, I was told very, very, very clearly, do not do this amends process on your own. You know, do all of these things, consult with your higher power especially, but also consult with people you trust who understand what you're trying to do. And it's this interesting, I'll wrap up with this thought. It's this this combination of consulting up with others and then also trusting God-given intuition. And I had, I think my first big book sponsor, you know, I would consult with her, but she told me, you know, at this point, your higher power, you know, if you are connected with your higher power and you really need to tune in and listen to that. And that was pretty amazing. And I love, you know, when you listen to amends stories, so many of them involve just that idea of like, I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I showed up at that place at that time, but there was my opportunity to make amends. And that's just a really clear indication that God is working and God is going to enable me to make these amends in the right time. So thank you for letting me share. Freya H. in Colorado. Pass.
Thank you, Freya. All right. I am now ready to take another lineup of names. So as a reminder, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on this first paragraph on page 80 this morning?
Jody E.
Thank you, Jody. Everyone must be very sleepy this morning. Who else would like to share?
Shelley B.
Thank you, Shelley. And where are you calling from?
Minnesota.
Minnesota, thank you.
Thank you for your service.
Okay, who else would like to join this round?
Nancy L.
Okay. Nancy L. Nancy, where are you calling from?
Arizona.
Thank you.
Joan Marie M. from Nevada.
Thank you, Joan Marie.
You're welcome, Susan.
All right, so I have Jody E. in California, Shelley B. in Minnesota, Nancy L. in Arizona, and Joan Marie in Nevada. So if everybody other than Jody could mute their lines. Jody, please go ahead and share with us.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. And I'm just really grateful to this meeting for this careful, slow study of the Big Book. We've been learning so much about steps 8 and 9 for weeks now. And it's truly life-altering. So thank you all. You know, probably the thing that I'm most ashamed of was infidelity, my husband. And when he and I were separating, I asked him if I could make an amends. It wouldn't have been the first amends that I had made. Early on in my program, I made a very unwise amends to him because I didn't do what's instructed here. I did not consult with others. I didn't ask God for help. And I made a cruel and unkind amends to him early on in my program. But anyway, many years later, as we were separating, I asked him if I could make an amends, and he said no. And I'm sure it's because he didn't know about the infidelity, but he probably had that suspicion, and he didn't want to hear it, understandably. He didn't want to hear that. That would have hurt him. That wasn't what I was planning to do, but he thought that's what he thought I was planning to do. So yes, these instructions are so perfect, as has been pointed out already. So simple. We don't want to hurt anybody in this amends process. And this can be very challenging to discern. And consultation with others and asking God for help is absolutely critical. And maybe we consult with more than one person. Sometimes it's quite complicated. And it's not easy to figure it out. Is this going to implicate anybody? Is this going to hurt anybody? I do want to recover. So is it going to hurt anybody or is it just going to hurt me? the hard call sometimes. But we have each other. We have experienced people on this line. And again, for that, I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Perfect timing. Thank you so much, Jody E. in California. Next, we have Shelley B. in Minnesota. Go ahead, Shelley.
This is Shelley B. from Minnesota. I have a problem with self-will running riot. When I came here to this building I live in, I got attached to man mentally, and he really didn't. He just wanted to be friends, but I overdid it. We didn't have any physical contact, but I paid a lot of attention to him and teasing. People would tease him all the time, and I took it the wrong way. Sometimes it was violent teasing, and I stood up for him. He didn't want me to. And then I thought in my mind, after 3 years, I've been here 4 years, I left him alone pretty much, but I do definitely have a problem with communication. I have schizophrenia, cognitive problems. He went in the hospital for a while, I was really sick, but the past 2 weeks, or at least a week and a half, I haven't seen him, and usually he's downstairs. So I asked his friends, well, why don't you do a check on him? And they wouldn't do it. I got angry, and I got kind of pissed off. He didn't swear at him, but I said some judgmental things. Then I went to the office just about a half hour ago and said he needs a welfare check. And in my mind, he's going to be very angry if they tell him it was me. I fantasize he'll try to get me kicked out of here. So I have to consult people more. That is my big problem, talking things over with others. So I ask this in God's name to help me and get through this, and hopefully he's okay. And I really feel ashamed of that part of me that I pass. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Thank you, Shelley B. in Minnesota. Next, we have Nancy L. in Arizona. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Susan. Good morning, everyone. Nancy in Arizona, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. I've been married for a long, long time, and my poor husband has been through a lot. But he's a forgiving man, and I'm very grateful that he can forgive me. And then my part of my amends is to now to turn around and change and not have to ask for forgiveness for the same thing over and over and over again. And so when I do my 10 steps, and I did one with my sponsor yesterday, and then she asked, do you owe an amends? I said, yes, I do. But I like to put it off because it's uncomfortable. But yesterday, I just directly, you know, I prayed, and then I asked my husband if he would forgive me for, I got rid of something that was very precious to him. What can I say? You know, I'm an only child, so what's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. But not anymore, not in recovery. I need to respect and take care of the things that belong to him and not get rid of them because they are either in my way or he hasn't looked at them for the last 6 months, so surely he doesn't care if I, you know, declutter his stuff. So I'm learning. It's painful. This program is painful, but with the amends that I make, and definitely go over some things with my sponsor first before I make the amends, brings healing, and it brings freedom to walk closer to with my higher power. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nancy L. in Arizona. Next, we have Joan Marie in Nevada. Good morning.
Good morning, Susan. Good morning, everyone that has shared so far. Beautiful, beautiful program. What stood up was out to me was willingness. It was in two times it says in this paragraph, willingness. And my understanding is the how of the program is honesty, open-minded, and willingness. And without that, I cannot get recovered. And I want recovery. I want that freedom. And I'm recovered in the state of Nevada today by God's grace. Very, very thankful. I was reading the promises this morning that we're not fighting anything or anyone, even food. We've been placed in a state of neutrality, not even swearing off. I mean, these are promises that are start to come true as you go into step 10. It's phenomenal. It's miraculous. It's only God doing for me what I could never do for myself. And it's important also to be in the same realm of the spirit when you do these things, to consult with that person. So with that, I pass, and thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Joan Marie. And a reminder where we are this morning before I take the next lineup of names. Page 80 in the chapter Into Action, that first paragraph only before taking drastic action through to We Must Not Shrink. So again, if today is your third day to share, we'd love to hear your experience with this paragraph. And I need from you your first name, your last initial, and where you are calling from this morning. Star one to unmute if you would like to share.
Hi, this is Bethany H. in Texas.
Bethany H. in Texas, thank you.
Nick F. in Tennessee.
Thank you, Nick.
Jordan L. in Colorado.
Thank you, Jordan. Anyone else? All right, I have Bethany H. in Texas, Nick F. in Tennessee, and Jordan L. in Colorado. So if everybody other than Bethany could mute their line. Thank you, Bethany. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your service. This is Bethany H. in Texas, calling in with a lot of appreciation for the phrase, shrink, not shrink. And I'm thinking about that in two ways this morning. So doing the amends, I'm thinking about how important it is to not shrink from my responsibility in the amends, to take ownership of where I fell short and try to do stuff on my own,
And any time in the past that I was operating from me, instead of using those powerful words, thy will be done, and looking for God's guidance, those were mistakes that I made. So, you know, when I tried to orchestrate things, man, like that wasn't the best, that was not the way I was, you know, there's a solution though, to say, thy will be done and to seek higher powers direction. So not to shrink when I'm making an amends, you know, not going in there saying like, oh, please forgive me. I'm seeking your esteem now. I'm trying to get this person to like think that I'm good. That's not what the amends is. The not shrinking is to say, look, this any time that I behaved in a specific way that was not the way God would have me behave, that's what I'm changing. That's what I'm in this program of recovery, I'm seeking that. And the other thing I'm thinking about in not shrinking, oh, I lost it, but I had it earlier. Well, maybe that's enough then. Just to say that in doing amends and consulting with other people, the not shrinking for me really seems about saying, yeah, I'm stepping up. I'm taking responsibility for this. And my sponsors really guided me around amends being something that I would want to hear myself, you know, not expecting any, you know, any forgiveness or anything, but just saying, this is me taking responsibility from it. So not shrinking is on my mind today. And I can't remember the other thing. So I'll pass. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much, Bethany H. in Texas. Next up, we have Nick F. in Tennessee. Thank you, Nick.
Good morning, Susan. Thank you for your service. Good morning, family. This is Nick F., recovered in Tennessee, recovered compulsive overeater. You know, before taking drastic action, which might implicate another person, like if my harm I did included you, you were a part of the process of me making harm to someone else, you may not be in a recovery program and you may not feel like you need to come out about your actions, but I'm doing this. So I get to ask you if I can, you know, if I'm going to just be honest. All the harms I did, I didn't have no go-to person because I didn't have a go-to person as far as an accomplice to my crimes. You know, I didn't have to ask anybody for their permission. I wasn't going to out anybody because this was mostly from my experiences, me and the food. I did a lot of drunk shit, a lot of, you know, causing harm because I was in a room closed out from living and life, and I was neglecting other people. But what? So I won't try to make up an actual experience, but I do remember one harm that I did do, and that was I took a hammer. This was under the influence of food. I took a hammer to my ex-husband's PlayStation, and I smashed it. I was so angry. You know, and I did get to go back to him after talking to my sponsor and after going to some meetings. And one thing they taught me in my other fellowship is that if you owe somebody like a financial amends, I was going to give him $500. I lead with the money first. And I went to him and I said, here's $500. I broke your PlayStation. And he looked at me and he said, Nick, it only cost $300. I just went directly to him. And I was able to keep some money, you know. And so the other thing is God to help, and the drastic step is indicated. We must not shrink. Like, this is hard. This is what we call an AA big boy shit. Like, this is grown people's things. Like, I'm being honest about where I was, who I was, and what I did. And what I have, and I have to be willing to continue to do this. I have to go to my sponsor. I have made amends where I got into, well, I started out well, and I was sticking to my part, but then they were responding, and they're not in recovery, and they were saying, yeah, you did do that. You're right. That was you. You sure did do that. And if I had not been under the advisement of my sponsor before and after the amends, I would have just done that completely wrong. The call that I made after I made a particular amends where someone didn't, you know, respond how I thought they would respond, I close with this. She told me, I'm learning how to be recovered. Other people are not learning how to respond to people in a recovered state, and it just needed to be water under the bridge. So with that, I pass. I hope that makes some sense. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Nick F. in Tennessee. Next, we're going back to Colorado. Good morning, Jordan L.
Hey, good morning, Susan. Thank you for moderating for us this morning. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. as far as drastic action goes, so I have a little different take on this. I was someone who was a bit of an adrenaline junkie. I kind of got off on the drama of all of it. so taking drastic action can be kind of a self-will run riot situation for me. I'm the oldest sibling in my family, and because of that, I felt a lot of responsibility and kind of like felt the weight of that growing up. And it kind of, it manifested in adulthood as me coming into situations and wanting to play the role of the hero, or the person who is going to come in and kind of like fix everything, you know, like I'm a fixer. So drastic action wasn't a problem for me. But this idea of obtaining permission and consulting with others, asking God for help. Those were tough, man. It's taken me a really long time to get comfortable with that. It's pretty oppositional to my sort of default nature, if you will, you know? consulting with others, especially ones that I'm in partnership with in different aspects of my life, whether that's my intimate partner or colleagues at work or even, you know, my sponsor or sponsees. That's a certain kind of partnership, you know. So really learning to be an equal in those situations. And get honest and tell the truth with those people, because it my actions affect others. Period. Done. End of story.
That's time, Jordan.
I need to learn that. Okay. I'll just wrap up by saying, learning to be in partnership with others, it goes two ways. So when I demonstrate that in my partnerships. It's a demonstration for not only myself, but my partner, too. So thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Jordan L. in Colorado. Okay, we probably have time for three more people, I think. So if you've been shy, now is the time to star one unmute. First paragraph on page 80. So if today is your third day to share on any vision meeting, please go ahead and unmute.
Lori A. from Ohio.
Thank you, Lori.
Yvonne A. from BC, Canada.
Thank you, Yvonne. Anyone else?
Guy for Wisconsin.
I'm sorry, first name from Wisconsin.
Di,
thank you. And who was after Di? We'll try and get you in.
It's Sky, S-K-Y-E.
Oh, S-K-Y, sorry. And then who was after that?
Hi, this is Stacy from Florida. And
thank you. Go ahead. All right.
Well, I haven't.
No. Go ahead. What?
I haven't gotten onto the amends part of the book.
Okay. Well, wait till it's your turn. Hold on 1 second. So we're going in order. So it's Laurie A. from Ohio, Yvonne A. And it will be used. Everybody can mute their line. Laurie A. in Ohio. Thank you.
Hi, this is Laurie A. from Ohio. I've made amends, and a lot of times I won't consult others and I won't consult God, but I plow ahead. And I think God meets me in that. And most of the amends have gone well. And I get so much freedom. It feels like it breaks chains that have, you know, kind of been there with me for like 30 years. And it's a powerful experience. As longer amends is so hard, like I don't want to make amends, so like I hold back as much as possible, like to, you know, try to control my behavior. I don't know if that's good or bad, but I just need to keep going to God to ask for help. And I'm newly married, first time, and I'm in my 50s, and consulting with others, with another person, you know, before plowing ahead, has been a learning experience. And I know that I'm only here in this position because of all the recovery work I've done. And I just need to keep going back to God. Thanks for this meeting. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Laurie A. in Ohio. Next, we have Yvonne A. in BC, Canada. Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning, Susan. This is Yvonne A., recovered in BC, Canada. I just wanted to say this morning how helpful these meetings are to me and the shares, and how they just hit home a point as I listen to people. And I've got an amends that's becoming clearer. This person has been on my harms list for or my resentment list. And I've been thinking, how did, you know, what is my role in this? Where have I done this person harm? And the situation has been unfolding now for, well, maybe a month or so. And it is just starting to become clearer and clearer. And so this shares this morning, and so sorry that where I find myself is like, oh gosh, no, I don't want to have to do this. I don't want to have to go to this person and make an amends, because, and then I start imagining what that's going to look like. But we have to take drastic action. And so this paragraph and all the shares this morning are just reminding me that I do this because I need to keep a fit spiritual condition. I have to have my connection with my higher power fully intact. And if I don't make this amends, I put a little block in the road, or maybe it's a big block. And then it's easier to put the next block and the next block and the next block. And so again, I just wanted to thank everyone for just pressing home the importance of keeping on with step nines or step tens or whatever version that takes for you once you get into recovery. And that's how we stay here. That's how we get to keep this beautiful gift of recovery. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Yvonne A. from BC, Canada. Next, we have Sky in Wisconsin. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Sky from Wisconsin, and I am new to Vision for You. I've been in other programs and other fellowships, but I was recommended to come in through my dear mother, actually. And every time I dive deep into recovery, I feel like life just opens up and I feel at peace and I feel life flows. And I think my recovery has just taken a back seat and life has become unmanageable, and it's manifesting in a lot of different ways. But recently, in the last 3 or 4 months, it's manifested in very compulsive habits, specifically eating. And from this call, I've realized that I have been really running my own show. And, you know, I was raised as a very dominant mother. Here she comes up again. And it was just kind of like her way or the highway, and we just kind of followed suit. And now just being a single mother and being single, having a partner but living apart, and just feeling like I've been pushing so, so, so hard to have things the way that I want them, and I just feel so, so, so unhappy, even though everything around me is incredibly blessed. I have a wonderful home and a healthy daughter and all these things, but there's this deep, like, unhappiness, and I've been just trying to fill that with food, and God's been very clear, like, you need to make this number one priority. So I wanted to come on and just have my voice be heard and say that I am having a hard time, but I feel I have God at my back, and this may be my new group to really dive into. So thank you for letting me share, and have a great rest of your day. I pass.
Thank you so much, Sky in Wisconsin. Next, Stacy in Florida. We have 2 minutes left, and they're all yours. So go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Stacy from Florida. I'm new to this group. This would be probably my fourth meeting. So thank you for being here. I haven't quite gotten to the amends part of the book, but, you know, I appreciate everyone sharing their stories, and I can relate to several of the things that that has been shared. So that's really all I have. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. We're actually going to stop there as time is moving on faster than I thought. All right, thank you everybody who was of service this morning. Vanessa, Leslie, Shelley, Alex, and Jody will stay on and host you. Thank you, Dina and Justine. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Leslie M., will you please read A Vision for You? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Susan, for your service. I am Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. We ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.